ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
I've been here and there speaking on the pastimes of various noted devotees of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has advised, parampara jano bhavamata. We should know very well what is our parampara. So by remembering that even the names of these devotees and what to speak of their qualities and pastimes, the whole world can be purified. I'm gradually printing out from various shastric sources their pastimes and summarizing them with the aim that devotees can know about these pastimes. And hopefully I may make it into a book at some point in time also. Today we can discuss Sri Pundarik Avidyanidhi, who in Krishna Leela is Rishabhanu Raja, the father of Srimati Radharani. So during his Navadvip pastimes of chanting and dancing, one time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after engaging in Sankirtan with his devotees, he sat down and tearfully called out, Pundarik, my father, Pundarik. Pundarik is my father and my greatest friend. When will I have the opportunity to again see him? And devotees thought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was referring to Pundarikaksha, Krishna. They weren't sure. Maybe he's referring to some devotee, but they didn't know any devotee by that name. When the Lord regained external consciousness, the devotees asked him, who were you calling for? If there's any devotee who's as dear to you as he that you're calling for so plaintively, then we should also like to have his association. Please tell us all about him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that anyone who does not know Pundarik Vidyanidhi is not a Vaishnava. Yet you're all very fortunate to want to know about him. His qualities are so wonderful that all the world can be purified simply by hearing of him. He appears like a worldly enjoyer, and thus people do not recognize him as a Vaishnava. He comes from the place in East Bengal known as Chattogram. He is very highly learned brahmana, very assiduous in performing his duties, and respected by all. He is always floating in the waves of the ocean of the nectar of devotion to Krishna, and all these symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, such as tears flowing from his eyes, hair standing on end, their quivering of the body, they are recognizable within him. He is a great devotee of Mother Ganga. He doesn't take bath in Ganga because he thinks, I don't want to put my feet in Ganga. And he doesn't even like to come and see the Ganga in the day because he doesn't like to see people there brushing their teeth there and washing their cloth and spitting, and he becomes distressed. But he just goes at night to take darshan of the Ganga and offer respect. Before performing deity worship, daily deity worship, he drinks a little Ganga water. Thus, by his activities, he demonstrates what is the actual path of religion. He has property in Chattogram and also here in Navadvip. He'll be coming here soon, so you'll all get to meet him. However, on first seeing him, no one can recognize he's a Vaishnava. They will think he's just a completely materialistic person. However, I'm very much desirous of his association. And all of you, please, by your prayers, pull him here. Then again, he wept loudly, calling out, Pundarik, Father, Pundarik, Father. And sure enough, Pundarik Vidyanidhi soon came to Navadvip, accompanied by many servants, brahmanas, disciples, and with a vast amount of possessions. Among all the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the only one who knew him as a Vaishnava, or knew him at all, was Mukunda Datta, who was also from Chattogram, so knew of his personality. Mukunda Datta and his brother Vasudev Datta, these two. So Mukunda was in age quite young compared to Pundarik. Himself, Gadadhar, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, they're all of about the same age. So one day Mukunda Datta said to Gadadhar Pandit that, I know that you are always desirous of the association of Vaishnavas. So I would like to introduce you to a great Vaishnava, and in return, you can give me the benediction that I can always be your servant. Radhadha was very happy. This is very good news. Let's go. So chanting the names of Krishna, he proceeded with Mukunda. So they arrived at the opulent mansion of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Radha and Mukunda offered salutations. They were offered a seat. And Pundarik inquired from Mukunda, "This boy looks very pure-hearted. He looks like by his effulgence, he looks like a devotee of Vishnu. What is his name? Where is he from?" So Mukunda replied that his name is Garadha. And his father's name is Madhav Mishra. His father was also from Chattogram. He is a strict brahmachari since childhood. He has no interest in family life. He is well-loved by all the Vaishnavas. He is very assiduous in his practice of bhakti, and he only likes to associate with Vaishnavas. Therefore, I have brought him to have darshan of your lotus feet. Now, Garadha himself was having a few doubts now, because he saw the opulent manner of living of Pundarik, living in a big mansion, and he was seated on a very opulent bed with all fancy canopy and silk bed sheets and brass studded pillars. So, and then there was all very fancy water pots. And then there was, next to it, there was an ornamented brass box which was used for a spittoon for spitting after chewing pan. He was being fanned on both sides by servants with very opulent peacock fans. His hair was very nicely, long hair was very nice, it was very nicely combed with scented oil, and he looked just like a prince. In the room, there was a big swing in which you could lie down and be swung back and forward. And he really looked like a first-class sense enjoyer who really knew how to enjoy the world very nicely. Because Gadadha, as a strict brahmachari, eschewed all thoughts of anything slightly resembling sense gratification. And he started thinking in a sarcastic manner, that why has Mukunda brought me here? What kind of a Vaishnav is this? He's enjoying life very pleasantly with the finest of everything. So Mukunda, he looked at Gadadha, he could understand what's going on in Gadadha's mind. So he thought of how to dispel Gadadha's doubts. Mukunda was well known as a great singer in the company of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. So he started to recite some verses from the Bhagavatam about the glories of Sri Krishna. And when he came to one verse, which is from Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 2, Text 23, which describes how merciful is Krishna that the demoniac Putana came to kill him, but Krishna, being so kind, gave her the position, just like a mother. Of whom should I take shelter but one as merciful as he? So hearing this, Pundarik Vidyanidhi went mad. He started shedding tears, roaring, jumping around in ecstasy. He was fully overcome by the ecstasy of love of Krishna. He fell to the ground and thrashing his legs and hands, so all the water pots and all the different valuable items were turned over and smashed. All the nice arrangement of the silken bed was all made into a big mess by his madness. And he called out again and again, "Krishna is my Lord, Krishna is my life. He is all in all to me. Such a greatly merciful Lord, still I have not got his mercy." And everyone was in the room was afraid that he's going to kill himself or cause himself great bodily damage because he's just rolling around and thrashing. And all the servants tried to hold him, but they couldn't. Even 10 men couldn't hold him. He was overwhelmed with such ecstasy. And this went on for a long time, and then eventually he became still, as if almost dead. So Gadadha, he started to think again that wow, it seems like he really is a great devotee. I mistook him for a worldly enjoyer. I've made a great offense. Such a great devotee, and I've disrespected him. So then Gadadhara embraced Mukunda, and Gadadhara himself, shedding tears of ecstatic love, Gadadhara said to Mukunda that, "You are my true friend. By your mercy alone, I've been fortunate to witness this uncommon devotion of such a great personality as Pundarika Vidyanidhi. Does such a devotee exist within all the three worlds? The whole universe becomes purified by such uncommon devotion. I made the mistake, seeing his outward expression, I mistakenly took him to be a worldly enjoyer. But you have you devised a means to demonstrate the actual heart's condition of Sri Pundarika Vidyanidhi. So I can only thank you so much for correcting my mistake and pray that you always help me in this way. Now I'm thinking how I can overcome this great offense that I've made. To date, everyone on the spiritual path must accept a guru. To date, I have not done so. So to mitigate my offense, I should offer myself as a disciple at the lotus feet of Sri Pundarika Vidyanidhi. In that way, I can, by offering my very self, I can be free from this offense. So Mukunda was very happy to hear this proposal. It took 6 hours for Pundarika Vidyanidhi to come back to consciousness after losing it. And Mukunda expressed Gadadhara's desire to Pundarika, explaining the whole position, that Gadadhara had mentally slighted you, but now he wishes to rectify his mistake by offering himself as a surrendered servant at your lotus feet. Then Mukunda explained the qualities of Gadadhara, that he is a devotee from his very birth. He's from the very beginning of life, he's been detached from all material pursuits. And he's not like most young boys who just waste their time frivolously, but he's always been very grave. He's from good family, his father being Madhav Mishra. From childhood, he's been a constant companion of our Gaurasundar. Who but you is fit to be his guru? And like him, there is no one as qualified as he to be your disciple. So you please consider which is an auspicious day and decide when to initiate him. Pundarik was also very pleased to hear this. He said that, "Truly I am fortunate to have such a rare gem in the form of this boy to be a disciple. To have a disciple such as he is the result of many births of pious activities." So they ascertained an auspicious day and said that the initiation would take place on that day. Gadadhara was very happy to hear this, and he next went to see Nimai, who was very happy to hear of the arrival of Sri Pundarika in Navadvip Dham. That night, this was the day that Vidyanidhi had arrived in Navadvip. So that night, he came unseen, unnoticed, to the house of Nimai. And he was intending to offer obeisances, but before he could do so, he anyway fell on the ground unconscious in ecstasy. But he quickly regained consciousness and then began to upbraid himself, calling out very loudly that, "Oh my Krishna, you are my life and soul. You are my only asset. You are my father. But because I am so much sinful, you have given me so much unhappiness. He who is the father of all the worlds has delivered every living being within all the worlds, but me alone I alone have been deprived of that mercy." So at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's house, Nimai's house, there were so many devotees, and they also became absorbed in the same mood as Pundarik. Nimai picked up Pundarik and embraced him. He also began to cry, saying that, "Oh, Pundarik, my father, now I have gained you who I so long was desirous to meet." All the devotees understood that Pundarik, who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had so feelingly called for, had now arrived. So they also began shedding tears of joy. Then Nimai embraced, in his embrace of Pundarik, became so much absorbed in ecstasy that the two of them remained embracing each other for 3 hours. They were so tightly embracing each other that it seemed they'd become one body. Eventually, Nimai regained consciousness and called out, "Oh my Lord Hari, today my innermost heart's longing has been fulfilled." So then they began their Prem Sankirtan, after which Nimai introduced Pundarik to all the devotees present, that this is the Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and he's been sent by the Supreme Lord to distribute love of Krishna to all the inhabitants of the universe. So by this time, Pundarik, he also regained external consciousness. At this time, Gadadhar, he also came to ask Mahaprabhu. He approached Nimai, asking for his permission and blessings to take initiation from Pundarik, explaining the whole circumstances by which this came about. And Mahaprabhu gave his full blessings and said, "Do it quickly." So in this way, Gadadhar was initiated. Oh, one other important point. Vrindavan Das in Chaitanya Bhagavat states that whoever recites or hears of the meeting of Pundarik and Gadadhar will receive the treasure of pure love of Krishna. Jai. So after some time, after being initiated, Gadadhar came to Mahaprabhu and saying that, "I got initiated, but the mantra that I received, it's not becoming manifest in my mind properly. The mantra received at initiation is not supposed to be told to others under usual circumstances. But I did so, and as a result, I can no longer properly meditate on that mantra." This is actually a Puri after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas. So he asked, Gadadhar asked Mahaprabhu, that, "Can you please tell me the mantra again so I can receive it again and chant it properly?" But Mahaprabhu was not pleased with this proposal. "And how can you say like that? You have your guru, he has given you the mantra. It would be an offense to your Gurudev if I were again to repeat the mantra to you." But Gadadhar said that, "Well, he's not here, so you can do for me." But Mahaprabhu again firmly said that, "Your guru is Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Do not be unfaithful to him. By the will of the Lord, you should be able to meet him again." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the all-knowing Supreme Lord, continued that Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi will come here to Puri within 10 days or so. "Because I'm always thinking of him, he is coming here to see me. But now I can understand that actually he's being attracted here by your pure desire. When Pundarik arrived in Puri, the Lord, being aware of this as the all-knowing Supersoul, came out to meet him. Seeing Pundarik, Mahaprabhu laughingly said, 'My father has come, my father has come.' And again embracing, again crying, again all the devotees were absorbed in transcendental happiness to see this wonderful meeting. From Navadeep, Swarup Damodar, who was present in Puri as the intimate secretary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. From previously, Swarup Damodar and Pundarik had been intimate friends. So when Swarup saw Pundarik, he tried to take the dust of his feet. And Pundarik also tried to take Swarup Damodar's dust. So each one was trying to take the dust from the feet of the other one and stop the other one from taking the dust from his feet. And they were both pretty strong, so it became like a little fight, but neither could succeed. And all the devotees and Mahaprabhu himself were laughing and laughing to see this transcendental fun. So after truce was called, then Mahaprabhu said, "Now you've come here, you please remain for a long time." And during this period, Gadadhar was again able to receive the mantra from Pundarik. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged for Pundarik's accommodation at Puri at Jameshwar on the bank of the ocean. And Pundarik and Swarup, being such great friends, they used to go together for darshan of Lord Jagannath. They were both on the same level of highly advanced Krishna consciousness, and thus they gained great transcendental pleasure in each other's company discussing topics of Krishna. Now there is a festival in Puri for Lord Jagannath called Odan Shasti. On this day, Lord Jagannath is offered new clothes, starched clothes. Okay. They don't know probably. In the modern age, you don't have starched clothes. There's a process when you cook rice in a lot of water, then the extra water is poured off, and that's got rice starch in it. And that cloth is placed in that, and then it becomes a little stiff, that's the right word. And it looks very nice, actually. It's considered very high class in Bengal even today. Not only in Bengal, Orissa also. Other parts of India, but now they forgot all this. They do ironing now. So anyway, there's a rule in Shastra that one should not offer the deity starch cloth. It's considered not suitable for offering to deities for some reason. However, in Puri, there are many, in the worship of Lord Jagannath, there are many rules which are not followed, not according. They have their own set of rules. It's not that they don't follow any rules, but they have their own set of rules. So when Pundarik Vidyanidhi saw that Lord Jagannath was dressed in starched cloth, he thought, what are they doing, these priests? They don't know what they're doing at all. And he asked Swarup Damodar, what kind of people are they here? I mean, they know the scriptures. There are plenty of people here who know the scriptures. So why did they offer starch cloth to the Lord? So Swarup Damodar replied, this is Deshacha. This is special rules which are followed in this place. Yeah. He said, why are you making such a big thing out of this? Just because one knows all the scriptural rules doesn't mean that one is obliged to follow them at all times in every way. This is a traditional festival which has been observed here for many centuries. If it was not pleasing to the Lord, then the king, who's in charge of deity worship, should have stopped it. But Pundarik wasn't satisfied. Well, that's all right. The Supreme Lord, he's fully independent. He can do whatever he likes. But why should his servants think that they can do what they like? This cloth is impure. And all the pujaris and everyone else is touching it, and they all become impure. For the Supreme Lord, everything is possible. But that doesn't mean that everyone should imitate it. I think the king's ministers, they're not considering all this. They must be dull heads. And maybe the king also wears starch cloth on his head. So in this way, there was discussion between them. As was common between Swarup Damodar and Pundarik, they would overstate their positions and become very strong with each other as a kind of bantering. What bantering? It means like teasing and fun, just like, you don't know what you're talking about. As if they're really much against each other, but it's just in fun. So as they were joking with each other, as they came back from the temple, and eventually they went to their respective residences. Now that night, Lord Jagannath came to see Pundarik in a dream, and he came with Lord Balaram, and they both beat him up. They were very angry with him. You're blaming my servitors. They beat him in the face. Boom, 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 boom. Again and again. They beat him so hard that their own fingers became swollen up. Never saw Jagannath's fingers? Pundarik saw them. So Pundarik said, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Why are you beating me so much? Lord Jagannath was still angry. He said, you're so offensive. We're not under your rule. We're not subject to your way of thinking. We don't have to do what you think is right. Even Swarup Damodar tried to explain to you, but you're insistent on trying to blame my servitors. You better get out of here and go back home. It's my festival and I like it, and you're saying it's wrong. So Pundarik, this is all going on in Swapnapuri, in dreamland. So Pundarik was fearful and sorry, and clasping the Lord's feet with his head, he apologized again and again, begging forgiveness, and said that you have properly punished the mouth which laughed at your servants. Today is the most fortunate day of my life, that I've been personally slapped in the face with your lotus hands. And the Lord replied, yes, because you are my very dear devotee, I could not see you. I did not like to see you uttering these wrong statements. So I've shown you this special favor. So after this, Vidyaniti woke up and he could feel his mouth is still hurting. He began to laugh. And he saw that actually his cheeks were swollen. It wasn't just in a dream. Oh, Krishna is very merciful. He's punished me. And considering what serious offenses I made, he gave me a very light punishment. So Vrindavan Das points out how fortunate Vidyanidhi was. He received the topmost limit of the Lord's mercy, that Krishna never beat his own sons like Pradyumna like this, not even for the purpose of instructing others. Sita, Rukmini, Satyabhama, none other of the Lord's devotees had received favor in this form. So every day in the morning, it was a regular practice. Swarup Damodar would come to Vidyanidhi's house and together they would go for darshan of Lord Jagannath. But when he arrived that morning, he found Vidyanidhi still lying on his bed. He said, "What happened?" Vidyanidhi called, "Come inside, I'll tell you everything." So Swarup came in and saw that Pundarik's cheek was all fluffed up and there was marks of some, like some very big fingers had been slapping them. "What happened? You must be hurting so much." So Pundarik laughingly replied that this is the reaction for my offenses of criticizing the Lord's servitors for using starch cloth for the Lord. Yeah. Lord Jagannath and Lord Balaram came to me in a dream and for almost an hour they went on beating me, saying, "Anything else you want to say about our new clothes?" I couldn't say anything because they were beating me so much. I'm just lying here because I don't want to go outside. And everyone will say, "What happened?" When the swelling goes down, then I can go out. I don't want to talk about this to anyone, but I feel that I'm very fortunate. If it wasn't for this mercy of the Lord, I would have fallen into hell. So the two of them laughed together in great joy at the mercy that Pundarik had received. So his name was Pundarika Vidyanidhi. Vidyanidhi means the ocean of knowledge, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him the name Premanidhi, the ocean of love. So at his birthplace, there's a temple that's now been under the management of and is being much renovated and developed by ISKCON devotees. And that's all that's known about Pundarik Vidyanidhi. That's all. So we can all pray for his mercy. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Yeah.
We can see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gladly accepted the association of Pundarika Vidyanidhi in spite of his opulent position. Mm. On the other side, he was very careful to avoid the association of Maharaj Pradhamsha.
Anyone else know the secret of this?
Because what Chaitanya appeared in the mode of Srimati Radharani in the Pundarika Vidyanidhi is Vishwabhan.
Yeah, translate that. So you're saying that the father-son or father-daughter relationship overrode that consideration, is it? I thought of another reason, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to see Maharaj Prataparudra because he said that for a sannyasi to associate with such a worldly person is worse than drinking poison. Vishabhakshanatopiya sadhu. But this in Navadeep, when he met Pundarik, that was before he took sannyas. And to a large extent, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself at that time appeared like not like a worldly enjoyer, but there are descriptions of there how his long flowing hair with chandana charchita, his body was all smeared with sandalwood pulp. And so that because he was taking the role of a sannyasi, he didn't want to meet a worldly enjoyer. But later, when it was revealed that Maharaj Prataparudra was such a great devotee, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted to see him. Only when it was abundantly clear that Maharaj Prataparudra was more a devotee than a king, he identified himself more as a servant of the devotees than as a king, then he was accepted. He said that if I can't get the association of Lord Chaitanya on account of being a king, then I'll give up my kingdom. So his feelings of devotion were much stronger than his feeling of being a king and a worldly enjoyer. There's a picture a painting which he commissioned of all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sitting with all his great associates and Maharaj Prataparudra fully prostrated before them all. That's how he wanted the painting made, how he wanted to identify himself. Anything else? Where is it? No, it's in Bengal. That was just featured in PTG 1 or 2 issues ago. In Berhampur, north of Mayapur. Yeah, there are several copies of it, but what is supposed to be the original or the oldest in existence is in Berhampur, north of Maya.
It seems that Ramanuja Acharya had also similar
experience. Ramanuja had a similar experience with Jagannath. Because Ramanuja was going all over India, and in many places the proper standard of deity worship wasn't being followed, so he was standardizing it according to Pancharatra. When he came to Puri, he saw, so he wanted to change all the customs. But one night, he went to sleep in Puri, and he woke up in Kurmakshetra, which is 600 kilometers? It's about 300 to 400 kilometers. So he did his work in Kurmakshetra, not in Purushottam Kshetra. Jagannath is it's a whole cult, and I'm not saying that in the modern derogatory sense of the term. It's a whole culture, tremendous culture at Puri. Even recently, there were so many mutts active there. There's a book written by a disciple of Bhaktisthan Saraswati where he described all the mutts. But most of them are in disrepair, or no one's staying there now. Even until recently, it was a great religious center. And still it is, but there's so many mutts which were there which are just now uninhabited, or there's no activities there. Anything else?
Well, the lack of activities in the mutts, is that characteristic of this age?
Yeah, it's a typical feature of Kali Yoga. It's in Bhagavatam that's stated that among many other good qualities of human beings, dharma will decline day by day. Mm.
Is there any explanation? How is it possible? Why he was behaving like
that? Why Pundarik was blaming?
No, behaving.
Oh, I see. His behaving with his blaming the servants of Lord Jagannath. That's stated in Chaitanya Bhagavad that he was inspired by the Lord within. And all these less easy to understand features of the devotees, we can understand that's inspired by the Lord's Lila Shakti. So. Well, it said that he deliberately hid his Vaishnavism. He may have had some purpose in doing so. Some Vairagis, they used to hide their Vaishnavism by, for instance, scattering fish scales outside their huts so that people would think they're eating fish and then they wouldn't come and bother them. They could do their bhajan without any disturbance. Or sometimes they would pay a prostitute to come and sit outside their hut. And then people would think they're fallen and they wouldn't bother them. So it also demonstrates that in the character of a Vaishnava, pure devotion is the central and active principle. Pure devotion is the central and active principle. And that although generally devotees are renounced in their behavior, renunciation is not in and of itself necessary for bhakti. It's a tatashta lakshana, not a swarup lakshana of bhakti. It's an auxiliary principle. Your English is better than mine. It's not a principal, a mukhya.
Secondary.
It's a secondary. Yeah, auxiliary, he's got the right word. There's another word I'm looking for, auxiliary will be okay. These two, Gyan and Vairagya, they generally accompany devotees. But even if a devotee doesn't have Gyan or he doesn't exhibit great Vairagya, he has full Gyan and full Vairagya if he's a devotee of Krishna. It also demonstrates how in any station of life, one may be a grihastha or a sannyasi, but one can take to and be fully in Krishna consciousness. So Lord Chaitanya taught different principles through different devotees. Also that bhakti is not it's not a stereotype. It's not that devotees are like factory-produced robots. Different personality. Everyone is a different personality. Some quite unique.
It seems that in general that
That's why the other devotees couldn't no one could recognize him as a Vaishnava.
Hmm. Seems that it's very rare, actually, because sometimes, you know, devotees, I heard devotees in ISKCON, they say, oh, you see, we can be rich also, we can be big businessmen, you see, like Pundarika Vidyanidhi. I don't think that they understand, actually, you know, in the name of Yukta Vairagya, we can have, live such a
and live an opulent life and be a devotee? You can be, but generally a devotee won't strive for that. He puts his energy into acquiring devotion, not money. If by providence one is born in a rich family, it's not that he has to give it all up like Raghunath Das to be a devotee. This we find in our movement. Ambarish Prabhu, from a very, very rich background, Prabhupada never told him that you have to give that all up. He gave him some services to do, which would require him to donate large amounts of money, but he never said that you have to live a very, poor way, or become a poor man. Hmm. There are other examples. Matsya Avatar, he's not as rich as Ambarish, but he's... Well, there's another, I'll say that. So he was, again, a grihastha, successful, making lots of money. And again, Prabhupada never told him, you stop all that. For example, Giriraj Maharaj, well, he joined Prabhupada as a brahmachari and was never inclined to married life, and Prabhupada encouraged him in that. Actually, Prabhupada asked a question like this to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, that Raghunath Das was born into great opulence, but he gave it up and lived an extremely renounced life. Whereas Ramananda Rai, he was in an opulent position. He remained in that opulent position and went on with his service. So Prabhupada, at that time, Abhay Charana Aravinda Das, asked Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, how was that? Why did one give everything up, and why did everyone remain in his position? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explained that, well, according to their respective positions, whatever was, they accepted what was a favorable position for serving the Lord. What was favorable or suitable for one might not be for another. But the consideration in both cases was how best to serve the Lord.
Rather than discrimination, if we make discrimination, then we risk that we misjudge some devotee. If we don't use discrimination, then we risk that we become followers.
We have in Croatia this Gopal Prem. Right?
Yes, he is obvious. He is obvious, but some other cases things are more subtle. So what is better or what is worse? If we discriminate, we make maybe offense to somebody, and if we don't discriminate, then again we are in trouble.
Difficult question. Again, it may not be the same answer in each case, or even for each person. One of the most spectacular fall downs in ISKCON, even when it came to be known that his position was very fallen, there were certain devotees who respected and supported him. And those devotees who respected and supported him, they were at the time and still are some of the most respected devotees in ISKCON. But there were others who said that this cannot go on. Some of those who said it can't go on, they were so much insistent and always looking for the bad points that they fell down. They were so much insistent on the point, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. They couldn't think of anything positive about Krishna consciousness, and they went away. But if they hadn't said anything, then we'd be in a worse position than we are today. And it's not that everyone who pointed it out fell down, but some who just their consciousness became overcome by it, they fell down. In the case, it was about 1972, when in New York, the GBC's wife was offering chicken to the deities. Yeah, thing yeah, ISKCON was crazy. Now, it's crazy then, too. The devotees, they weren't sure what to do, because they had the idea, we have to follow the GBC. Prabhupada is so strong on this point. So when Prabhupada came and the whole thing, it was brought to Prabhupada, it said, Prabhupada, we're not sure what to do here. Prabhupada said, well, it was good that the junior devotees had the attitude of we should just follow the GBC, but the senior men should have done something to rectify the situation. So maybe you can take your cue from that. Mm-hmm. Interesting points to consider, considering our own delicate position. No one says anything, then it just becomes completely sahajiristic. Everything is okay, whatever you do, everything is... It's all just bhakti, don't criticize. But if you criticize to such an extent that you have no time or taste for the holy names or Krishna Katha, then we simply become fault finders.
Can we say from that example that the senior devotees made offense because they didn't
appear? Well, Prabhupada seemed to indicate that. Yeah, you become you become implicated. If nonsense is going on and you don't say anything, you also become implicated. So dangerous all around. Therefore, we have to pray. Oh, Krishna, 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 Raksha Mam. Oh, Krishna, protect me. Make my motives pure, that I'm not just, you know, for the sake of showing myself, I'm better, you're wrong. Not like that. Well, if it's stupid, just think about it. And if it's stupid, don't ask it.
You know that we cannot take bath in Radha Kund, that we cannot touch. But can we some way by head now? Because it can help us in the whole hour.
No. You take water on your hand and sprinkle on your head. That's the system. It's like the story of the how many Chinamen does it take to put a screw in the wall. Of course, there's a racial joke. Nowadays, we're not supposed to make a racial joke. There's 21. One to hold a screw and 20 to turn the wall. Anyway, we don't have anything against Chinamen. That's one of the jokes from before the days when we realized that you're not supposed to be racist. So there's an easier way to do it. Instead of having someone pick you up and dunk you in the water, you just take a little and sprinkle it on your head. Yeah, good. It's good we're not allowed to enter. They allow the Western devotees to enter, then within 2 years they'll have disco dancing in the temple. And they'll be selling pizza prasadam. It's good. Good rule. Okay, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.